In our gospel reading assigned for the office, the morning office for this morning, Jesus, as you might have picked up, is at a very different kind of meal than the one I just described. He's in the house of the chief of the Pharisees at a gathering that would have included all the niceties and conventions associated with an important person hosting other important people. And of course, as Luke tells us, at this particular meal, Jesus was being scrutinized, for they, the host and the other guests, had heard that Jesus had been saying and doing things that ran counter to the ways of the religious establishment of the time. And so Jesus, our Jesus, is at a meal that is a social and religious test of sorts, one in which he both will be expected to pick up the right fork for the right course and will be expected to pay deference to those who were the most important people in the room. But as we know, our Jesus, especially in the Gospel of Luke, is not very good at doing these things, for he comes with fruit that is not sweet to the taste of religious insiders or people who believe in their own self-importance. And he comes with a banner that is love, a banner that will not please those preoccupied with their own place at the table. This love, as we know, is not some kind of vague, sentimental, warm feeling, but the love of a God who has decided to take up residence in human flesh, yours and mine, and who is particularly fond of the flesh of those whose lives, like the lives of that African-American family in my story, those whose lives are lived closest to the ground, those who have little, if any, buffer against the vagaries of power, class, race, standing, profession, or money. The bitter fruit, so to speak, that Jesus brings to his meal in the chief Pharisee's house are things like this. You heard them. The healing of a sick man on the Sabbath, something that would have been forbidden by religious law. A string of impertinent kind of teaching questions about a seating chart for the table that is driven by who's important and who's not. And finally, the pronouncement that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And to the ears of those important people, exalted people, it must have been bitter indeed. And over it all, over all these actions, of course, is the banner that is love, God's equal love and acceptance for all, a stumbling block and bad news for the exalted in the world, but for us in the church, the good news of the power of God, the good news of the power of God. Today, in this interesting banqueting house, in this interesting banqueting house where we are feasting on scripture, on prayer, on song, and on just the goodness of community, today in this banqueting house, we honor a group of people who have, and others who are here and who are whose numbers they are joining, who have brought a variety of gifts in a variety of ways of serving within the life of our parishes and within our diocese as a whole. Some of these ways of serving that you are about to hear are these. I just plucked these out of the citations that you'll hear. Things like serving as the parish's Mr. Fix-It. And there are many of you out here. It's a rewarding but thankless job sometimes. Serving as the parish's Mr. Fix-It in our buildings that are not always what we would like for them to be. Counting parish money offerings Sunday after Sunday, year after year. Serving on parish council or as a warden. Coordinating and organizing meals for the hungry in the community in which the parish is located. Creating fabric art or music that enhances the prayer life of all who experience it. Working on the Christian formation of children and youth. Encouraging others' financial generosity for the sake of the church and the world. Serving in overseas missions. Serving in the liturgy. in the pastoral care of others, in adult formation, serving on diocesan committees, working on coordinating and hosting our diocesan synod. And then a theme that comes up, I'm not sure you'll hear it in all the citations, is this: being a peaceful and reassuring presence in times of turbulence and transition. That one person who holds the peaceful space when people are worried about the world, about the life of their parishes. Yes, on the surface, all these people, their gifts and their ways of serving may look very different from each other, very different indeed. But what I believe they have in common, and what we celebrate today, is that they, like we, and like all the saints, have aspired to serve under the banner that is love, the banner of the love of God in Christ Jesus, the one who came not to be served, but to serve, the one whose life, death, and resurrection have seated us all at the table of life with him, the one who calls us daily to be his kin and to be kin to one another within the church, but for the sake of the world. You'll hear a lot of stuff about service within the church, but remember, the church is for the transformation of the world. And we live in a world that needs transformation, do we not? Do we not? Do we not? We do. Wow. In a moment, you will hear the particular shape of the love that each of these new recipients of the Order of the Diocese of New Westminster have offered to our parishes, to our diocese, and to the broader community. As you hear even more about who they are and what they've done, you, like me, may find yourself flooded with gratitude, and as the anthem says, with sweet delight. I come away thinking this has added years to my life, this liturgy every year, because of the beautiful things that we hear. But this morning, don't just stop there. Don't stop there. Let their gifts, their lives, their actions help you remember the love that is yours in Christ Jesus, a love that has healed you, a love that has welcomed you to God's table, and a love that has called you to be the saints of God for the sake of the world. Amen.